make it, do it. Makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right. Comes back to the left. Going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
Happy Football Wednesday. Vic Carucci with Michael Regei again this week.
He is How you doing,
in.
Vic?
I'm doing well. You're
Good.
Filling in for Nathan Zagura. And we are going to spend these next couple of hours covering a lot of things, obviously draft-related, because that's a predominant subject, and that's really the topic that we want to throw out to you and hear from you at 216-578-0850, that would you be willing to trade up from the four spot if you're the Browns and the player you wanted is sitting there somewhere you think between 1 and 3 and you don't think that player is going to fall to you at 4. So would you go up and what would you give up to go up? It's actually a very expensive price in reality, but we want to hear what you have to say about that. A lot's to talk about from folks on the Browns talking to media, and one being Mike Pettine, the head coach of the Browns, had an interesting sit-down with Steve Wyche of NFL Network that aired, I think, today, and we've got the cuts from that on the show. We also have the interview posted in its entirety on clevelandbrowns.com, but we're going to get into some very interesting comments that the head coach said about the thinking, the philosophy behind what he's doing. And Josh Gordon, quoted by Fox Sports Ohio in an interview that was conducted, I think, over the weekend in Rochester, New York, where he continued to say that he sees the Browns drafting a quarterback. I don't think he's alone in that sentiment, but he reiterated his point, did a little breakdown of some of these quarterbacks. I'm sure
he assessed them,
Ray
yeah.
Farmer appreciates that he's got a scout in number 12, the wide receiver there.
Player personnel guy, too, in Josh Gordon. And, yeah, he did do his own assessment on him, Vic. And this isn't the first time that Josh has come out and discussed quarterbacks. As we know, he went on the ESPN car wash, the various shows a couple of weeks ago, and did the same thing. But I can't wait till we get into the Mike Pettine comments, because I think it's something very poignant, and I know all Browns fans are going to want to listen very, very closely, because Pettine has kind of given us a lot of insight into the fishbowl of what he believes philosophically.
Oh, I think big time. I think this is a window into the mind of the head coach of the Browns in many ways, and I think people will find that interesting, and again, we'll give our analysis on that. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, will join us at 2 p.m., and actually before that, at the bottom of this hour, you're going to hear from Nathan Zagura, for whom Michael Regei is filling in today, but Nathan will check in with us from a family trip in New York. We always like to hear from him. And then at 2:30, we've got some interesting discussion about another quarterback reported to be on the Browns' dance card for a conversation. That would be A.J. McCarron from Alabama. We heard, of course, yesterday that Johnny Manziel would be someone the Browns would visit with this weekend. And then he's also, that would be down in Texas. Then Manziel also reportedly scheduled to be here in Berea next week. Well, A.J. McCarron is a quarterback that the Browns hierarchy, Mike Pettine, Ray Farmer, going to go down and check out. So we want to talk a little bit more about him, get more insights about him from Andrew Gribble. He is from AL.com, the beat writer for the Alabama Crimson Tide football team. When you think about the potential quarterbacks, that name McCarron comes up now as the compromise choice for those who say, if you're going to invest too high a draft pick in the Johnny Manziels or Teddy Bridgewaters or Blake Bortles and incur that risk, Derek Carr, throw him on that list, and incur a risk, you get less of a risk because this guy, McCarron, likely available later, and he would be more of the game manager guy who would compliment to kind of give a hint as to what the head coach, Mike Pettine, has talked about here on NFL Network, the compliment, that idea of power football, defensive football.
Always liked A.J. McCarron, Vic, and it goes over and above. We know the two national championships, maybe an Auburn astounding 109-yard missed field goal return away from playing for a third earlier this year. But all that having been said, Vic, we know one thing about A.J. McCarron. When you play for Nick Saban, Saban runs an NFL system. That is no secret. Not just because he's put so many first-round guys into the NFL over his tenure at both LSU and Alabama, but because that's what Nick is, and that's his philosophy, and that's right. How he runs his Alabama program. And, yeah, I like McCarron, and I think that could be a real possibility for the Browns if, indeed, they don't do something with that quarterback situation a little bit higher. He's the kind of guy that would fit that mold. And he also does have, Vic, he's 6'5" and 230 pounds as well. So he's got all of that and the winning cachet for Nick Saban at Alabama. And we know also Saban is always consulted and very well respected, not just by the Browns, but by virtually the entire NFL.
Well, at one time, this was the guy, right? This was the guy that people said, you got to get A.J. McCarron. I'm talking about the conversation that took place last fall.
Yeah, yeah.
And focus on this guy because he's the man. He's the best quarterback in the class of 2014. And you see all the championship attributes that go with him, or at least the winning attributes that go with him from Alabama, etc. And then since that time, he's become the forgotten guy, somewhat.
Yep.
He certainly has been talked about a lot less. I like when he's been asked about this. He said, probably because my name has been out there for so long,
exactly.
It just kind of faded away because there were newer, fresher names to take that place, like Blake Bortles and Teddy Bridgewater and so forth. Johnny Manziel, I think he's always been in a class by himself for recognition as a top-flight entity in this draft class. But a guy like a McCarron is interesting. I think he falls into that Jimmy Garoppolo category too, someone that you can see maybe getting later on and not necessarily believe that he would be your franchise choice right away, but he could come in, compete, and be a factor for you maybe longer term, be that solid guy, make plays. I don't love the way he throws the ball. That's my biggest thing. To me, the quarterback position is all about the throwing,
mm-hmm.
and I better see someone who consistently throws the ball well. And I mean with some velocity, tight spiral, of course, accuracy.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing enough of that from McCarron.
Okay.
And I didn't love what I saw of him when I got really up close at the NFL Combine, again, in that pristine setting where the expectation is you're going to throw more good passes than bad. You should in any of those workout settings. In my mind, he didn't ace that test.
Okay. He does not have the huge arm, and I'll give you that. Yet again, because of the system they were in at Alabama, and because we do know he's going to be an extremely studious guy, he's not afraid to take ownership and take leadership. I do think, Vic, he's going to go in the second round. Not necessarily saying that's going to be the Browns, but I do think he's going to be a second-round guy because of the pedigree. I do know that, you know, NFL franchises will like the winner that he's been, and I don't think there's been a lot said about, well, it's because all of the offensive talent around him. Well, okay, yeah, Alabama is talent-laden. We know all the first-round picks in the last 3 years, but again, you know, Nick Saban went with him for the last 3 years, too, to run his offense and be the guy that pulled the trigger on everything there. So there's something to be said for that. And, again, now, if the Browns decide to go in that direction, a McCarron would fit all the things about philosophy and system that we'll hear from Mike Pettine a little bit later on. I guess you wouldn't call McCarron or worry about him being a reckless or putting his offense or the football in danger.
No.
If you're going to put him on the football field.
No, and that's important. I mean, I think when you're coaching a team from a defensive background, when you're Mike Pettine,
yeah.
and it's all about winning with defense, that's the only way really a guy like that should think, because that's been the root of his whole existence as a coach. I know he can see and understand that you've got to have the offense, that you've got to have the ability to throw the ball effectively, that you've got to make plays on that side of the ball and have the quarterback. He gets all that.
Mm-hmm.
But philosophically, fundamentally, he wants that base of a team that plays sound defense, that makes plays on defense, that shortens the field for the offense, that disrupts and creates havoc and will win games because the other offense not only is being forced into turnovers by athletic plays on the defensive side, big physical plays on the defensive side, but is also has the defense in its head that it can't figure out what's coming at it from a pass rush standpoint. When Mike Pettine is involved on a game day, and I realize this will be for the first time as a head coach in the NFL, he's still in that mindset of the defensive coordinator that he was. Therefore, he will look at his offense the way he has always looked at offense as a defensive coordinator. It's got to help out. It's got to be a compliment. It can't do things that make the defensive plan go awry. It can't put the defense in those bad positions because of silly plays or bad play calling that leads to too much risk. Mm-hmm. And that's why you're going to hear from Mike Pettine about this too. That's why this Browns team, despite our obsession with quarterbacks, and that's what we have following this game, and especially in this town, Michael, despite that, it's going to be more about how well this team can power the football, control the clock, and play defense. And I think that those are the tenets of what you get when you sign that guy, Mike Pettine, as your head coach.
It still can win in the National Football League. I mean,
but that's proven. It may not be exciting, but you know what? You'll trade excitement for wins.
It's got to be about substance. And substance here with the Cleveland Browns means exactly one thing.
You got to win football games. You got a ton of excitement last year with Josh Gordon, right?
Yeah,
it was fun.
Yeah.
You got a ton of excitement with Jordan Cameron.
It's not minimizing what Josh Gordon accomplished.
By no means. It was thrilling. It was enjoyable. It was four wins. That's what you got out of that, four wins.
That's exactly
right.
You threw
the ball all over the place. North Turner, I think, is still one of the foremost offensive minds in this game, okay? I would have had no problem with North sticking around and keeping that mindset of throwing the football as aggressively as he does and maximizing production.
Yeah.
He got guys and he did a lot to get those guys into the Pro Bowl.
Yep.
All right, he's not here anymore, and that's not the way this offense is going to roll anymore, Michael.
No.
Power is going to be the game.
And that's why, again, now of what we've seen through free agency and approaching this draft, and again, when you hear Mike Pettine a little bit later on, Browns fans, employ it, listen real closely because, again, he's giving you that window into exactly how he believes philosophically and in the style that is going to be conducive to winning here for him and his coaches in Cleveland.
No doubt.
And that's you're going to see a vastly different approach to the run game this year. If we're just strictly talking about the offensive side of the football, the run game is going to be put under the microscope, it's going to be put at a premium.
There's a fullback in the building.
Yeah, there's a fullback
there's
in the
a
building.
There's a fullback
right.
sighting.
Yeah.
All right, you haven't seen that around here in a long, long time. 216-578-0850. Again, want your thoughts regarding what the Browns might be able to do with the fourth overall pick if you see someone that you think you're in charge of this pick, you want to move up to get. Is there someone you think that won't be there that you've got to have absolutely, positively, and what are you going to give up for that guy? We want your thought on that. So you call us, 216-578-0850, or with other Browns thoughts and football thoughts on your mind, those barks, growls from the pound. You tweet us at Browns_daily. We want to hear those. We want to get those tweets. And Megan Rock, who is tweeting throughout the show from that account at Browns_daily, will read some of those. And we're going to get into some of this Mike Pettine sound that we've talked about, this interview that he did with NFL Network. That'll be coming up at 1:45. But in the meantime, we do want to hear from you. And we're going to also talk in that second hour on Josh Gordon's comments to Fox Sports Ohio, still saying that he sees this team, not only does he see him drafting a quarterback, he's giving his appraisal of said QB. So it's interesting. You go from a guy who, had a promising rookie year, and then his second season has the big breakout, and now he's going to offer those personnel opinions. So, fine. We'll see.
Brian Hoyer, though,
by the way. Oh, he didn't leave Brian Hoyer out.
He included Brian Hoyer, and he did say that this team could win with Brian Hoyer. So,
yeah, he did.
But remember, last time there wasn't too much conversation about Hoyer. This time,
there's no conversation
with FoxSportsOhio.com, he included the incumbent, at least right now on April 16th, the Browns' incumbent, as their quarterback.
All right, we're just getting this thing rolling. We've got much more coming up. It is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty 40. Is Michael Regei filling in for Nathan Zagura, and you'll hear from Nathan in a little bit, about 15 minutes from now. And I'm Vic Carucci, and this is ESPN 850 WKNR.